Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 1. I began this verse last week. I intended actually to go further, but I had so much to say on the first part of this verse on whosoever believeth. The title of today's message is Whosoever Loves. Last week, whosoever believeth, and this week, whosoever loves. Now, what we're talking about is what John had been talking about over, reaching back over into chapter 3, when he talked about the love of the brethren, those who truly love God, who love Christ, and love the brethren. And that's a special God-given love that proceeds out from faith, God-given faith. So look at verse 1 of 1 John 5. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Talking about the faith that comes as the result of the new birth, which is the work of God, sovereign work, powerful work, invincible work of the Spirit, to bring a sinner to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. See, faith is the gift of God. It's not the product of the free will of man, because man's will is in bondage to sin. And left to our own wills, we will not believe the gospel. Faith is the gift of God. I quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 all the time. For by grace are you saved through faith, but that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we saw last week in John 1 and verse 13 that those who are born of God, they're not born of blood, that is physical birth. They're not born of the will or the works of the flesh, and they're not born of the will of man. They're born of God. And the new birth comes under the preaching of the truth. Christ dealt with that in Matthew 7, where he talked about an evil tree cannot produce good fruit. The evil tree there is a false gospel that puts people on the broad road that leads to destruction. And he says there's no good fruit that's produced out of that evil tree. The new birth, salvation, does not come under the preaching of a false gospel. A good tree brings forth good fruit. It's only under the preaching of Christ, who is the tree of life. And the good tree that people are, the fruit of the new birth comes. And so he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, look at the next part of this verse. And everyone that loveth him, that is, loveth Christ, loveth him that begat, loves God. Who does the begetting? You see, that's the issue. When we're talking about being born from above, born of God, you see, you don't beget yourself. You didn't beget yourself in your physical birth, did you? Obviously. Well, you don't beget yourself in the new birth. That's what I said. It's not of the physical birth. It's not of the works of the flesh. And it's not of the will of man. You're not born again because you believed. You believe because you're born again. And that also means that you were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. If you believe the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherein the righteousness of God is real. That gives evidence of a lot of things. It gives evidence that you were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. You know, Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, I know your election because the word, the gospel, came to you not just in word only, but in power. The new birth. You believed it. And he says, also, believing in Christ as he's presented in the gospel, the truth, the word of God, it's an evidence that you've been adopted into his family. It's an evidence that you are justified in God's sight. Wow, to be justified, to be forgiven of all my sins because of the blood of Christ, to be righteous in God's sight based upon the righteousness of Christ freely imputed to me. How do I know His righteousness is imputed to me? Well, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, whosoever believeth, last week's message. And then it's an evidence that you've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, born again. How do I know I've been born again? Well, what did He say? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's the evidence. And then it's the evidence of being born of God. He says, and everyone that loveth Him, that begat. Do you love the... If you love God, you love the truth of God. What the Bible says about God. When the Bible talks about God's sovereignty, you love that. If you love God, God predestinated a people to be conformed to the image of Christ. I've had people tell me, I don't believe in that predestination. Well, you don't love God then, because He's the one who did the predestinating. He foreknew, He foreordained, the Scripture says, everything that comes to pass. He chose His people. He sent Christ to die for those people alone. And He saves those people from their sins. Do you love that truth? I do. Because I know this, if that weren't the case, none of us would be saved. We'd all perish. We'd have been gone a long time ago. You say, well, I don't love that. That sounds unfair to me. God is a just God, my friend. He doesn't do anything wrong. Read Romans 9 on that issue. There's your answers. And that's the only answer the Bible will give you. Who are you to reply against God? You think you can argue with God? You think you can debate with Him? Job tried it. God said, well, where were you when I formed the earth? When I put Leviathan in the sea? Where were you in all that time? See, you don't have any right to do that. He's the potter, we're the clay. And what we're to do is, because of what God has told us in His Word, we're to seek Him. We're to find His truth. That's what we ought to be doing. Not just settling into religion, but seeking His truth. Wherever we go, I want to be where God's truth is preached, where the Bible is preached, where God's Word is preached. Not just where I feel good or where I've got a bunch of friends or where they got a lot of activities. I want to be where the gospel is preached. And that's the issue. So think about that. Now, all that is evidence. And He says, and everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. That's love of the brethren. And that's those who abide in the doctrine of Christ. Go back to 2 John. I read part of this, or one verse of this last week. This love of the brethren is so misunderstood. Sad to say, it doesn't mean that believers will always get along in every way. We see that in the New Testament. Paul had to exhort two ladies in the church at Philippi to get along, quit arguing and fighting and fussing with each other. He had to deal with them in Galatia, Corinthians, a church with many problems. Believers are not always going to get along. Now, and that's to our shame. We should strive to get along, to edify one another, to preserve the unity. And we do that in the truth now, not just if any love or unity compromises the truth, throw it out. It's no good. We don't compromise the truth for anybody. But amongst believers, there is a true fellowship and brotherhood that cannot be broken because it's of God. And it means that we will always bond together in the truth. Now, we may not be getting along in other areas. We may differ in opinion on other areas. But in the gospel, we're together. And that's what he's talking about. He that loves him who begets. He who loves God, who is the author, who is the source of salvation. Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. God, who is the first cause of the new birth in the Spirit, but through Christ. He who loves that God loves the one who's been born again and are in the faith. And that's how we know this. Over in 2 John chapter, chapter, but 2 John 9. Now listen to this again. He says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. If a person comes to me claiming to be my brother or my sister in Christ, but they don't abide in the truth of Christ, I'm to understand they don't know the true and living God. They don't know the same Father, the same Savior that I know. But he says, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Those who believe the gospel that God teaches us in his word, that's my brother or my sister in Christ. And listen to verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Do you read that? They come to you. And they come to you not in the doctrine of truth, the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, conditioned on Christ who fulfilled those conditions and secured the salvation of his people, but they bring you another doctrine, salvation conditioned on the sinner, the sinner's will, the sinner's works, the sinner's baptism, the sinner doing this or doing that. That's a false gospel. So if they come to you and don't bring this true doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, the house that he's talking about there is not talking about your individual houses, your homes, and claiming that you're not to have any visits from an unbeliever. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the fellowship of faith in the household and family of God, the church. And so if anybody comes into your church or tries to get into the fellowship of faith, not believing the truth of Christ, the glory of his person, the power of his finished work, why he did it, where he is now, then you're not to count them to be your brother or sister in Christ. There's no bond of fellowship there. There's no bond of unity there. There's no bond of truth. And he says, don't embrace him as a fellow believer, as a child of God. Don't bid him Godspeed. Don't say, I hope you're successful. All right? That way. I have people call me up all the time, and they want to, there might be an evangelist or a missionary, and they want to come here and preach in the church. And the first thing I do is I start asking them about their doctrine. And most of them get offended. They don't like that. Well, what difference does that make? I had one tell me one time. You know, I'm going all over the world doing this, that. Listen, you're going all over the world preaching a false gospel. And I said, no, you can't be in this pulpit. You don't believe the gospel. And I don't bid you Godspeed in your work, because your work is guiding people into the broad road that leads to destruction. Do you understand that? And it says in verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker, a fellowshipper, a partner of his evil deeds. Now, what are the evil deeds here? Not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, preaching a false gospel. Now, if you embrace that, if you claim to be a believer in the truth, but you embrace those who don't believe this truth and bid them Godspeed, you're participating in their evil. That's what he says. Now, everyone back over in 1 John 5, everyone that loveth the true and living God. And how do we know we love him? It's not because of the degree of our love or the perfection of our love. Our love is yet, even a believer who loves Christ and loves the people of God, our love is yet imperfect. That's why salvation is not conditioned on our love for Christ or our love for our brethren. It's conditioned on his love for us, which is perfect. Herein is love, not that we love Christ, God, but that he loved us, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Don't ever forget that. But the only way we know that we truly love God at all, that we've been given the gift of love, Because by nature, we don't love God at all, not the true God. We love a God of our imagination. But the only way that we know that we love God at all, that we love Christ, is as we believe His truth. And we unite and embrace the others who have been born again, who believe His truth. So whosoever loveth. Now let's go to verse 2 of 1 John 5. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. You know, it's sad that when most people read verses like that, they go immediately to the Ten Commandments. And they say there, if you're not keeping the Ten Commandments, you don't love God. That's not what this is talking about. You know, there was a man who came to Christ. This is recorded in Matthew 19. And in the other Gospels too, Luke and Mark and Luke, that a young man, a rich young man, a religious young man, came to Christ and asked the question, good master, what must I do? What good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And so that I may have eternal life. And Christ knew, Christ being God manifest in the flesh, He knows the hearts of men. And He addressed this man on the ground of what this man came to him, claiming to be a lawkeeper, to keep the Ten Commandments. And the first thing He showed this man was the fact that his standard of goodness was way too low. You know, that's the problem with all of us by nature. We think of goodness, but it's a low standard of goodness. It's goodness on a human level. It's not goodness on a divine level. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 3, there's none good, no, not one. That's goodness based upon God's standard of goodness, which is way too high for us. So when the rich young man in Matthew 19 came to the Lord and said, good master, here's what the man's problem was. He came to Jesus of Nazareth not believing that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He didn't believe in the deity of Christ. And Christ recognized that. And so when He came to him and said, good master, the first thing the Lord confronted him with was his low standard of good, that man's low standard of goodness. He said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. In essence, what the Lord was doing there in Matthew 19, He was showing that man, look, if you don't believe that I'm God, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. So what He's doing here, and see the wisdom of this, He's showing this man that his standard of goodness was way too low. And so right after that, He told the man, He said, but if you would have eternal life, keep the commandments. Now what are the commandments? Keep His commandments. Well, John has already told us that. And it's to believe on Christ. Remember He said back in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. The commandments that Christ is talking about here is the gospel. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not the law of God. Because if that's the case, and here's where we got to come to, friend. If that's the case, none of us love God. None of us love one another. None of us keep the commandments. That law, the old covenant law, the Ten Commandments and all the other laws with it, that was given to expose the sinfulness, the depravity of the people that were under it, and to show them the impossibility of attaining goodness, righteousness that God requires for fellowship with Him. By works of the law shall no flesh, by deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. So if He's talking about the Ten Commandments here, I'm going to tell you something. If that's what He's talking about, we can close the book. Go home and just sorrow. He's talking about the gospel. Keeping His commandments, to believe on the Son, to believe on He whom God hath sent, and repent of our dead works and our idolatry. But going back to the young man who came to Christ, Christ, right after he exposed the young man's low standard of goodness, he said, but if you will be saved, if you will have eternal life, keep the commandments. Well, do you remember how the young man responded to him? He said, well, I've kept these from my youth up. He said, what? Which commandments? And Christ began to read him off what is known as the second table of the Ten Commandments. He didn't name off the first four because that's love to God. But the next six have to do with love for human beings, love for our neighbor. And he read them off, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And the young man had the audacity to say, well, I've kept those from my youth up. I've always kept those. I had an unbelieving Jewish man tell me one time, he said his hope was to keep the Ten Commandments. And I told him, I said, well, my friend, that's a hope that will not be realized because you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. There's only two types of people, sinners lost in their sins, sinners saved by grace. So the young man said that. He said, I've kept these from my youth up. And he said, what do I lack? What more can I do? And Christ told him, he said, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And the young man turned away in sorrow. He had much riches. What Christ was not telling him that in order to be saved, you've got to do this or that. He was telling him that he did not keep those commandments. Because all those commandments are summarized in love God perfectly and love your neighbors yourself. And that young man didn't love perfectly. And he went away sorrow. The disciples, when they saw it, they said, well, if this man's not saved, who then can be? And the Lord told him, he said, well, with what's impossible with men is only possible with God. So back over in our text, 1 John 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth, whosoever loveth. And he says in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous, burdensome. Well, what is the commandment now? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of dead works and idolatry. Follow Him. And what he's saying here is that's the message, that's the commandment that God uses in the power of the Spirit in the new birth to set sinners free. It's not a burden in the... That doesn't mean that we don't have a battle within. As far as loving Christ and loving His people, we still have the flesh. And the flesh motivates us in evil to love ourselves. And we know that we should love our brothers and our sisters as ourselves. We should love God perfectly. And so we have a struggle within. But the struggle is an evidence of the grace of God in our lives. The burden that he's talking about, the grievous burden, is any law that is put upon a sinner that he must keep and maintain in order to be saved, in order to be made righteous. Because that is a burden, a grievous burden that you cannot bear. You may be like that rich young man who thinks you can bear it, who thought he could bear it, but you can't. The law was given to show us our sin. By deeds of law shall no flesh be justified. And once the gospel comes, there's freedom. There's liberty. It's not freedom to sin. It's not liberty to sin. It's freedom to serve God in the assurance of God's grace based upon the law keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ. Based upon His blood to put away all my sins. Based upon His righteousness to make me right before God, accepted in the Beloved, Christ. For Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And that's a liberty. I can now serve God, as Paul wrote in Romans 7, in newness of spirit. That is, in the spirit free. Not trying to save myself, not trying to earn my way into God's favor, but because I have a sure and certain hope and assurance of that in Christ. Christ is the author and the finisher of my faith, and His commandments are not grievous. When God gives us faith in the new birth, we run to Christ, embrace Him, plead His righteousness alone, His righteousness imputed to me, and follow Him. And we struggle within ourselves because of sin, because of the flesh, but we're free. We're at liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And he talks about, in verse 4, overcoming the world. We'll talk about that next time. But that's the issue. We were slaves to sin in the sense that we had the burden of sin was upon us. And in our natural state, in our thoughts, in our unbelief. And we could not get above and beyond it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But having been brought to Christ by the Spirit of God to believe in Him and to love Him, we're now servants of righteousness. We're free to serve God, motivated by grace, not law, motivated by love, not law, motivated by gratitude, not law. That's the Spirit of God. That's the way we serve God in the faith. That's the way we keep His commandments. We're not perfect. We always fall short. But we're in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness. We have the life of Christ within, given to us by God in the new birth. And our whole outlook on life has changed now, because now we have the assurance of His grace, the assurance of His mercy, the assurance of His love. No sin can be charged to us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. We cannot be condemned because we have His righteousness imputed to us. We believe in Him and love Him. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.